Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Received it, it will be yours. Somebody just declare, nothing moves until I speak. Praise God. You may be seated. If you are visiting for the first time, or maybe you weren't here the last week or two and you want to catch up, I believe this is our fifth in this session or series. You can catch up anywhere where you get your podcast for free. You can go ahead and download. And one of the great members of Living Way messaged me. He said, man, I love listening to podcasts. He said, every other podcast I listen to, he said, I have to speed it up times two. Because he said, they just talk too slow. He said, with you, I never have to speed it up. And sometimes I got to slow it down. But go to those podcasts, catch up, because this is a revelation that is transformative. It will transform your life if you ever get to the place that you understand what I believe is going to change what I say, and what I say is going to change what I see. The world wants us to believe that there is a power in manifestation, that I can manifest just by thinking thoughts that I can change the world. Remember, it starts with your thought. Your thought life shapes your obedience determines your actions. That's where we started this off. But Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 22, have faith in God. He ever says you can say to the mountain, you can do that. He said you must have faith in God. Because what they say doesn't matter what is in their heart. Because what they say doesn't matter what is in their heart or the foundation that they're standing on. Proverbs 18, 21, the tongue can bring life or death. Those who talk will reap its consequences, both good and bad. One of the quotes that I want you to remember is whatever you speak consistently becomes your reality. Whatever you say over and over and over again is what you are going to see in your life. If you don't like what you see, let me encourage you to start saying something different. Charles Spurgeon said, the word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend the lion. All you have to do is let the lion loose and it will defend itself. So I want to encourage all the members and all the attenders here at Living Way and those watching online today, you got to let the lion loose. You got to let the word of God out and let it do what it's going to do. And you say, well, the word of God says in the Old Testament, David said, well, I hid the word of God in my heart that I would not sin against God. Yes, hiding it in your heart keeps you from sinning against God. But the word of God coming out of your mouth helps you move mountains that are standing between you and what God wants you to do. So you hide the word so that you don't sin. You speak the word so that you can move mountains and achieve God's given purpose. We've gone through five of these declarations of believers. Number one, we said that I am a child of God. You should say that every day when you wake up, that I am a child of God, and remind the enemy that you've been adopted into the family of God. That you have full access and authority as a child of God. Because when I say I am a child of God, you know what else I'm saying? Do you know who my father is? And when the enemy finds out who your father is, the enemy hopes you don't know who your daddy is. He wants you to live like you're on a Maury Povich show. You are not the father. I know who my father is. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns 1,000 hills too. So when I and you say that I am a child of God, we're announcing I am a part of the family of God. Jesus is my elder brother. God is my father. Number two, I am forgiven and free. Aren't you glad that you can remind the enemy when he tries to creep up with your past that, nope, that's not me. I am forgiven. Who you're talking about, that guy no longer exists. I am free. What used to bound me no longer binds me. Number three, I am a new creation. Failure is not my future. That's my past. All the things that God has delivered me from have become my testimony, but they do not define me. The new creation that I am in Jesus Christ defines me. Last week we talked about that God is always with me. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God's presence is permanent. He never walks out on you like friends walk out. Never checks out on us when things get tough or it gets a little dicey. Like in Hebrew, double and triple negative. Double negative, it cancels each other out. As I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is literally saying, I will never, never, never leave you nor forsake you. He is literally saying, I will never, 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 never leave you never, 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 never forsake you to infinity. God is always with me. I am never alone. It is absolutely impossible for God to leave you. He said, I will always be there. And then the last one that we talked last session, number five, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is not just a conquest statement about what we can undertake and prevail. It is about contentment. It is about knowing that my strength does not come from me, but my strength and my purpose come from God. Christ strengthens us for God's purpose, not our preference. So when you say, I can do all things through God or through Christ who strengthens me, remember, not to make it all about you, but remember what we're really saying is God can do anything in my life. And I am resting in the fact that when I can't, I serve a God that can. So when we declare this as believers, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it's not what I'm doing, it's us allowing the power of Christ to move through us. So the declaration is Christ strengthens me, nothing is impossible with Jesus. Let's go a little further. Number six, no weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon formed against me will prosper. This is one of those things that should come a knee-jerk reaction when somebody comes against you or somebody's running their mouth or the enemy starts attacking you. You ought to just be able to say, without looking it up in Isaiah, just say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Isaiah 54 verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage. Somebody say, this is my inheritance. Remember, servants of the Lord. And this is not a denial of battle. Let me say that again. This is not a denial that you'll never have a hard moment. This is not a denial that you're never going to have an adverse doctor's report. This is not a denial that bad things happen to Christians. This is a guarantee of victory, but it is not a denial of battle. Some of us thought, well, when I said yes to Jesus, it was going to be unicorns, butterflies, and rainbows. But can I just tell you that some of us, when we said yes to Jesus, we put a target square on our chest that announced to the world, I'm no longer living for him, I'm living for him. And devil, you can give me your best shot, but just know this, you can point the gun, you can form the weapon, but God promised me after it is formed, it will not work. You know what kind of confidence that should give you and I when we leave this building and walk out into a world that wants to steal, kill, and destroy, that I can look down the double barrel of a shotgun and say, devil, you can take your best shot, but I'm going to keep on coming. I'm going to keep on winning. I'm going to keep the faith. It forms, but it doesn't prosper. Man, it's easy to preach this on a Sunday, but it is tough for me to live on a Monday when all hell breaks loose for me to just put my feet out there at the edge of the boat in the middle of the biggest storm and say, whatever's going on, I know that this will not work, but God's got my back. I know with my declaration that God will, check this out, this messes with your theology, God will allow weapons to form, but he will not let them succeed. He will allow them. You remember this, Job was a millionaire. Wife, kids, home, livestock. You say, well, I don't want the livestock. Well, just trade out the oxen for Bentleys in your mind. This dude had it all. Before Satan ever blew his house down, killed his kids, and robbed him of every ox and camel in his pastures. Do you know what the enemy had to do before any of that happened? He had to go up to get permission from God. Hey, God, you know Job over there? He only loves you because of what you've given him and what you do for him. God said, that's not true. Satan said, well, then let's prove that. God said, you can do anything, but you can't kill him. And you know what that means? As long as he has breath, he will still serve me. As long as he has breath, he will still praise me. As long as he is alive. And this is what I've heard and I've studied it. Millionaires say, if it is all taken away, they're asked the question, could you make it back? And every millionaire or billionaire I've ever seen that has been asked that question says, oh, I can make it back, because they operate from this thought, if I got it once, I can get it back again. Well, believers, can I tell you that we are billionaires in the spirit, and that God has done something so amazing in our life that if the enemy starts taking some of that stuff, realize that God is not shocked, because the enemy had to go and ask him permission, but realize this: if God gave it to you once, he can give it to you twice. And when I say God gives it to you twice, I'm not saying he gives it to you again. The Bible says that Job got double for his trouble, and that everything that was taken, all because Job knew, no matter what is coming against me, I know this, that though the weapon is formed against me, it will not prosper. You take that, God gives me this. You take something important, God gives me something twice as important. Double for trouble. God defends his servants. This is a part we love to talk about, that first line, that no weapon formed, but let me just tell you, that second line is good too. That every tongue that rises up against you. How many of you have haters? Just how many of you have people that love to run their mouth? They don't do it to your face, though, much, do they? They just type it out from their mama's basement on the couch. But this is what God says. God defends his servants against false accusation. Let me just play the advocate on the other side. Maybe you're mad because what they're saying is true. Because this says accusation. That means that it might not be true, but what if they're saying is true? You know, a lot of people are claiming church hurt, and it was accountability. Somebody called you out on your foolishness, and you got mad and went to another church. Oh, let me, that wasn't in the notes. Let's get back here. Let's see, God defends. God defends his servants against false accusation. Every tongue. I love words like every and any and all. Every tongue that rises against you, that is referring to people that have lied on you. People that have slandered you. People that have condemned you. God said, I will vindicate you. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You don't have to fight back and respond to every verbal attack. Let me say it once over here. You don't have to fight back and respond to every verbal attack. You don't have to fight back and respond to every verbal attack. Just keep serving, keep giving, keep loving, keep standing, keep being the people of faith that God has called you to be. Because I have learned this, if on your way to victory and purpose you stop to throw a rock at every dog that barks, you will never get to your destiny. You will never get to your purpose. Let them keep yapping while you keep living. Let them keep talking while you keep serving. When I was younger, I felt a need to respond to everybody. Don't allow them to be robbers and thieves of your time and of your anointing. You are too anointed than to waste an hour of your afternoon on Sunday going back and forth with somebody you've never met on Facebook or Instagram. You are too valuable and too anointed to get in a knockdown drag out at the family reunion because somebody who's living here doesn't understand how you're living here. Listen, blame God, but don't blame me. And God said, if you want to talk about me to him. Don't bring that over here, because God is going to be the one that reckons and brings it to a reckoning. I put on social media this past week, and I love it. Don't tell me what they said about me. I know what they're saying. I don't care. I don't care what they're saying. Well, you don't know what they said about Living Way. I don't care what they said about Living Way. You don't know what they said about your mama. Now listen, you talk about my mama, we might have to scrap in the parking lot. But as I have matured, as you have matured, we realize everybody doesn't need us because, listen, for me to respond to accusation, lying, slander, I have to stop what I'm doing to respond to them. And so here's how we measure if it needs a response. Is it worth me stopping what I'm doing to have a conversation with someone who didn't hear from God or God did not consult with when he was promising me and dealing with me? And so there's a lot of times when I hear him chirping, but I keep moving on. Can I just tell you, this past week, I was at a public party with some friends of mine, and there was somebody from my past there. And there's a reason they're in my past, praise God. Anybody got some people in your past that there's a reason they're behind you, not beside you or in front of you? And I was at the buffet line. Praise God for buffet lines. And I was getting me a little lemonade, and I was going through, and I had kept my distance. And when they moved over here, I moved over here. Why? Not because I was afraid. You know I'm not afraid of confrontation, but that was not the time nor the place, because we were celebrating somebody. And so I heard them call out my name, and I acted like I didn't see them. I went straight to the banana pudding. Praise God. It was there. I went straight back to my table and sat down, and I just acted as if I never saw them. Now, if I can do that at a party, how much stronger would we as the people of God be able that every time somebody comes up against us or says something, that we just say, God, that weapon that is formed against me, I know it's not going to prosper, and I need you to quiet that mouth. I need you to shut them down. I need you to shut them up. And here's the thing. If he could shut the lion's mouth in the lion's den, he could shut that hater's mouth. Vengeance is mine, says Lord. This promise is for God's people, the heritage of the servants. I'm a servant, you're a servant. It's not a blanket promise for everyone on earth. It's for those that walk with him. It's for those called and working on purpose. Our identity in Christ gives us access to divine protection. I love. Now listen. I'm not to the place like Paul that I glory in my affliction. When affliction starts happening, I still don't like it. But I'm gonna tell you what, I snap back in faith a lot quicker than I used to. And then I just say, oh God, this is gonna be fun watching how you turn this thing into my favor, how you quiet that person down. Here's the declaration: God is my protector. I will not fear the enemy's attacks. Number 7, let's go here before we conclude today. Maybe one more after this, but number 7, the Lord is my shepherd. Talking about declarations now. You're going to get at least 10 of these in this series. But if you get to where you can say these every morning when you wake up and know which one to put where and when to say what, it's going to change your life. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 1. And we're only going to read verse 1 out of this entire 23rd Psalm because everything else is predicated on this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If you're taking notes, number one thing that you have to pull out of Psalm 23 is that God is personal. That God is a God of all of his people, but he is a personal God. That your God is so great and so big that he has got one foot over in the Iran, Iraq, and Israel situation. And he's got one foot right here smack dab in the middle of Living Way Church. He's got his eye and ear on what's going on in Washington, but he's got his eye and an ear about what's going on in my living room. We serve a God that is as personal as you want him to be. The Lord is my shepherd. I love how he makes this an individual statement and declaration. Your relationship with God, church, is supposed to be personal, not a church-wide thing. You know, Sundays, this is like family reunion where we all get together. But your immediate family is not on Sundays and Wednesdays. Your relationship with God is personal. Here's a word we don't like to use in church because it makes all the macho men feel a little different. God's relationship with us is an intimate one. I know you don't want to hear it, men, but God wants intimacy with you. God wants to hear you talk. God wants you to be so close to him that you don't care if he sees you cry. And if in a moment of just overwhelming spirit or life that you just break down in your closet or in your truck or car and you just weep in the presence of the Lord, that is an intimate moment with God. And remember this, God bottles those tears, and if he bottles the tears of those who weep, then I promise you he is going to answer the prayers of those who weep. God doesn't shepherd from a distance. I love that. Doesn't shepherd from a distance. He walks with you. He leads us. And he knows us by name. And he knows us by name. Isn't it awesome when he calls us sons and daughters? But there's been so many times where I've heard the Spirit of God, where God just gently nudged me and said, "Now, come on, Brandon." And the fact that God knows my name, and that there's a personal aspect of billions of people on this earth and 2 billion other so-called believers on planet earth right now, but when I talk to him, he talks back to me, not in generalities for billions, but he speaks to me about my life and about what I'm going through and about what I need and what he's created me to do. It is an intimate, personal relationship. God is personal. He says that I shall not want. God provides. When you say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When you say, "God, you're my shepherd," you are announcing to your flesh, to God and this world, that God provides everything that I need. Want means lack. When the Lord is your shepherd, you will not lack what you truly need. He meets your spiritual needs. He meets your emotional needs, and he meets your physical needs. Let me tell you something. There's some people in here that have some real spiritual needs today. God will meet those. But there's others who you need God to do something very physical in your body or in your bank account. God said, "I will do that." If it's an emotional thing between your ears or elbows, God will do that. Whatever you are lacking, God said, "It is my job as your shepherd and father to provide for you." Now, when I was growing up, y'all remember like Jordache jeans and those nice jeans? We were shopping over, this will be for you 80s kids, we were shopping over at Wiener's in the Husky section. I still hate the word Husky. I won't buy that lawn equipment. I won't buy it. I hate the word Husky. Because we walk over into Wiener's over here on Pat Booker Road, and Pastor Becky just walk in. She's like, "Where's your Husky section?" And in my mind, she's just like, "Hey, where's the clothes to fit my little fat boy?" But at that time, my parents didn't have a lot. Everything they had was coming into Living Way and being funneled here. And that's why when people run their mouth about how blessed this church or my parents are, I'm like, you weren't here at the start when they gave their life savings to birth something when nobody else was here. Sold their house in Silsbee, Texas, came over here and bought the first 2 acres that splits the FLC right down the middle, not with money that they had collected and raised for a church, but it was their life savings at the moment. So it was not my parents' job to buy me the best shoes and the best clothes. They just said, "I need to provide you what you need." However, what I found out is if I stick with the ones that are providing me what I need, there is eventually going to be a breakthrough of a season where we shift from what I need to what I want. Can I encourage somebody today that if you'll stick with the shepherd, if you won't jump out of the pasture, if you'll let him correct you, if you'll let him love you, if you let him lead you. He said, "It is my responsibility to take care of your needs, but stick with me. I'm going to take you to your wants, everything that you want, every desire of your heart, as long as it lines with morality and God's word." He said, "I will bring you to that place, but first you got to stick with me." God provides. Somebody say he provides. Let's go just a little bit further. God protects. A shepherd leads. And a shepherd feeds. A shepherd protects, and a shepherd corrects. A lot of times we want the feeding, but not the leading. We want the protection. I say we, but not the correction. I'm 43 and I still don't like to be corrected. And I'm still corrected by mom and dad. I'm still corrected by men that I have been accountable to now for 25 years. And they will call me out on things I post on Facebook. They will call me out on all kinds of things. Some of them are watching today and they will give me pointers. They will tell me what I don't want to hear. And here I am thinking, I have preached for 25 years. Don't tell me what. But that's correcting. They're not doing it because they want to control me. They're doing it because they want to grow me. Do you want to be controlled or not be controlled, or do you want to grow? Because you can't not have someone have their fingerprints on you. He leads, he feeds, he protects, he corrects. That means you are not alone in life's darkest valleys. Even when you don't know the way, your shepherd does. God provides all I need. Here's a declaration for you. Write this down. I lack nothing. Say, I can't say that because it's not true. No, you need to say it till it becomes true. I lack nothing. Let's talk about spiritual things. I lack nothing. That means wisdom. Wisdom can have very great practical results in your life. But maybe you say, I lack nothing. I have been redeemed, praise God. I've received the wisdom and understanding and knowledge for the things of God. Maybe it's emotional. I lack nothing. God is going to bring the right people into my life that are going to love me and encourage me and support me. I lack nothing physically. Every one of us, praise God, has had enough to eat this weekend. If you say, nope, I haven't, and I just proved you wrong, God hasn't provided, I've got good news for you. We got a food bank 100 yards from where you're sitting, and you can get 2 bags of food and take them home with you today. We got diapers, we got formula, we got hygiene products. We're going to send your kids back to school with school supplies. God is going to supply what you need. I lack nothing. I lack nothing. Some of us are so concerned with what has been taken out of our lives instead of what God has left in our lives. And here's the thing, God, if it's not good for me, I don't want it. Take it from me. Take it from me. But God, if it's from you, leave it there. And let's grow that thing. I lack nothing because God is my shepherd. Tomorrow when you wake up and you look at the account and there's not enough money in there to pay those bills, you need to start looking at those numbers saying, I lack nothing. I knew I'd get a little applause there because the applause is about to quit right now. But after you do that, you need to go put a 40-hour week in. Some of you need to put a 50 or 60 hour weekend. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, you're $40,000 in credit card debt. You're going to have to do more than 40. Because if you pay those minimum payments, it's going to take you 26 years to pay 10 times what you spent. Say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about, again, it's not just us saying, I lack nothing, and then God just fills our life. He says, I lack nothing. Let me manage this relationship. I lack nothing. Let me manage my mental health. Come on, somebody. Let me find some Christian counseling. Let me find some friends that are going to push me to Jesus and not pull me away from Jesus. I lack nothing. Stand on your feet. I was going to get into the next one, but we'll save this for next week. This will be a good time before we even open the altars, which the altars are always open. You can come right now if you need to. But I'll just give this encouragement. Next week, I'll give you number 8. We just won't get into it. Next week, number 8, the declaration is, I am healed by his stripes. So this is your homework. All of us know somebody who is sick physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. We're going to break down on that declaration what the cross and the death of Christ and how he died, what it means to us spiritually, but also what it means to us physically. So if you know somebody with a cancer diagnosis, get them to church next Sunday. If you know somebody that is on 10 or 12 different, listen, there are people in this room, and I don't have permission to share the story. There are people in this room that when they came to Living Way, they were on 13 different mental medication. All kinds of things for their mental state. And they went through some Christian counseling. They plugged in. They learned what it means to follow Jesus, read their Bible, all of those things. And over a course of a few months, and this is where a lot of churches won't tell you this. I hope God delivers you today. However, if he doesn't, I hope that you take one step of deliverance for the next 12 weeks, 12 months, 12 years. But over a few months, those 13 went to 11, to 9, to 6, to 4, to 3. And I haven't heard if the three or four are done yet. I just know that they're on the right path because they lack nothing. They lack nothing. So number 8, I'm healed by his stripes. Get somebody that needs, because we're going to anoint everybody next week. We're going to pray the prayer of healing and health. And I believe cancer is going to dry up. I believe arthritis, amen, is going to go away. I'm believing for myself. Y'all, I've never shared this testimony. I have had severe back problems since I was in third grade. I got tossed out of a moving vehicle, went over the cab, laid in the middle of the road, and didn't break my back, but I mean, it just destroyed my back. Pastor Mandy can tell you, I have not had a good night's sleep in years. I sleep in a recliner most of the time, and I'm believing next week I'm going to be healed. I believe I can be healed right now, but I'm going to start declaring that. Because your boy has a lot of living left to do. And I need my rest so I can get up and slay giants and push kingdom. And so we're all going to get healed next week, but I need you to find somebody. But before we get to next week, let's talk about right now. No weapon formed against you. I need you to move out of your seat right now if you are facing a weapon in your life. If it is the biggest, baddest weapon that you have ever faced, if it's a weapon that has brought fear to you, that has caused you to question your relationship with God, that has caused you to question whether you are in God's will or not, or whether you are about purpose or not, and here this thing is, and it's staring you straight in the face. But I'm here to tell you right now, it's not going to work. It's not going to succeed. Remember, succeed. It's not a guarantee of a battle-free life. It is a guarantee. It is a guarantee of success, of victory. And then others of us, we're in a season of lack. But that season ends today. Everything you need. And please, let's not trivialize this moment of lack to money. It can be money, but it doesn't have to be. Maybe you're missing peace. Maybe you're missing joy. Depression is a lack of joy. It's a lack of anxiety, is a lack of peace. Fear is a lack of faith. So when we talk about I lack nothing, Jesus, I am accepting and allowing you to step into my life in all of your fullness. Nothing moves until you speak. As you speak here today, God, give me faith. God, I lack nothing. God, this weapon is not going to work. I believe that faith will rise up in you, that a fortification right now and a strengthening of your faith is happening. As we are anointing you in this aisle, altar, God is speaking and God is doing something. But before I lay this microphone down, if you need something from Jesus and you're at your seat, this is your moment. If you don't know Jesus and you would like to receive him as your Savior, this is now. Young person, you don't have to wait till camp. Right here, right now, you need Jesus. This is your moment. If you want to be baptized in water, we're ready to make that happen. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost for the evidence of speaking in tongues, we are ready to make that happen. If you want deliverance, let's go. If you want healing, let's go. Don't wait till next Sunday. Right here, right now, God is healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask our altar workers, Sean and Gene, if you'll start praying. Antonio, Ms. Clementine, if you'll start helping us pray.